So what I did was, went through the book of Proverbs, and as I went through the book of Proverbs, I found 10 things that are related to how we can develop personally. And so again, I'm going back and I'm saying that at the foundation of it all is Bible study and prayer and dependence upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Ten Commandments of Personal Development. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Ten Commandments of Personal Development.
And he was at the gates of hell, and he was looking into the torments of hell. And so he's sitting there, and no doubt in his mind, he's thinking about the torments of hell. So that's, you already put your money in the offering, so, but I'm not going to charge you for that one, because that was not related to the sermon this morning, but I just thought that I'd throw that in there. But we need to become thinkers. Thinkers. You know, we need to become deep thinkers. Proverbs 15 and verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies to answer. That word study means to pore over, that we need to become deep thinkers, that a lot of the problems with us is that we think so shallow. You know, our thoughts are shallow. You know, one of the things that I love doing, and see, when you find your area of giftedness, man, you get excited. One of the things I love doing is studying the Word and looking at some of the deep things of the Word. And you know what? When I study the Word and I see these deep things, you know what my prayer is? Lord, let me understand it so I can explain it to someone else. Lord, this is deep right here. Lord, in your Word, this is so deep that Lord, I got to pull out about 20 commentaries and try to put my mind around this thing. And Lord, let me understand it in a way. Because I know if I've been trained in the discipline of studying theology, and Lord, you have someone that hasn't, that even though they have the Holy Spirit, that they might not be able to have that process. Lord, help me to break it down so that they can understand it. And so sometimes we got to go deep. Saints, get deep in your thing. What is your field of expertise? Just don't stay shallow. Shallow people think shallow. Deep people get down in to what they're dealing with, and they engage their minds. So you see, the part of the problem is, saints, and don't get me wrong, because I find myself in this situation so often, but we like to be amused. We like to be amused, whether it's sports or whether it's entertainment, whatever the case might be. We like to be amused, and so what's the danger in amusement? Well, let me tell you this. The word amuse comes from two words. The first word is ah. And anytime, and we know, anytime we put a before a word, that negates it. Right? Right? We know that now. And anytime you put an A before a word, it negates it. And you know what the word muse means? To meditate. To meditate, to think. And so what does amusement mean? At its root, it means no thinking, no meditation. And so even though we relax and you know, I tell you what, I enjoyed the Cavs and Golden State. They amused me, right? Oh, you know, the Penguins, oh, they amused me, right? And that's good. You know, it's good. But you know, we can't constantly be in a state of amusement because that means there's no meditation. So we got to become deep thinkers if we want to develop. Secondly, we have to become positive thinkers. Now, let me go back to the ant. Let me go back to the ant from a negative standpoint. We got to kill the ants. Oh, wow. Pastor Glaze, you said we ought to learn from the ants. Yeah, that's right, but we got to kill the ants. You know what ants are? Automatic negative thoughts. Automatic negative thoughts. You got to kill the ants. And we see here, become a positive thinker. The proverb says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous. I mean, positive things. How they can make a difference. How they can do something better. You know, I think about how we can become better. You know, the little boy was out, and he had a ball and a bat. And he threw the ball up and swung, and he missed it. He said, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Took the ball, threw it up, swung, and missed it. He said, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Took the ball, threw it up, swung, and missed it. He said, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." Somebody said, "Man, you haven't hit the ball yet. How are you the greatest hitter in the world?" He took the ball, threw it up, swung, missed it. "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Positive thinking, man. You know, and I'm not saying positive, you know, from the standpoint that we don't recognize sin and all that. I'm just saying that you know, sometimes, you know, we are wired up negatively. We are wired up to think negatively. That when you go down, when you give directions, what's the first thing that people say? Go down to the red light. How come you don't go down to the green light? Right? Why? Because, you know, that's the way we're wired. You know, we're wired negative. And so, you know, we need to become more positive in our thinking and then become a visionary thinker. I like Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the paths of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Think about, have vision. Think about where you want to go. Meditate on where you want to be. You know, just real quick, whoever you are this morning, where do you want to be next year around this time? You know, where do you want to be? Now, next year, and again, I'm just saying where I'm at. You know, that's where I want to be next year, in that new building, right? But I also see within the next year, you know, I'm probably going to have two more books coming out. You know, ponder the path of where you want to go. Next year, I would like to see, you know, our church become more involved and engaged in missions. You know, and so what is the vision? You know, where do you want to go? Where do you want to be next year? Do you just want to be sitting here in the same place and doing the same thing? Or do you have something exciting on your agenda? Do you have a vision that you want to lay out there, and you know that if God doesn't accomplish it, it's not going to happen? You know, be a visionary thinker. Develop the art of thinking. Number six, learn from your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. You know, if you want to develop personally, you have to learn from your mistakes. Proverbs 3:11-12, and this verse is repeated again in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. What is that? When God corrects us, what are we doing? What is he doing? He's trying to teach us from what? The mistakes that we've made. That whenever there's correction, and that's why, you know, when we talk about, you know, dealing with children, you know, I prefer the term. Now, you know, I know many of us grew up old school, so, you know, we're in the old school pattern. But, you know, I prefer the term that we correct or discipline a child instead of punish a child. Because when you say punish a child, then that means that, you know, you did something and we're going to punish you for that, punish you for doing it. But when you, what I'm trying to do, what the goal of the parent should be, what? Is to correct bad behavior. So if my child goes up and puts his hand or her hand on a hot stove and gets burned, then I don't need to punish that child. As a matter of fact, I might not even need to correct the child. Because what? They learn. They learn a lot. So I don't need to, you know, get time out. I don't need that. You know, if you didn't learn from that, then God, then shame on you. Shame on you. So we need to learn from our mistakes. If you know, so as somebody said, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? So we need to learn from our mistakes. And I like to quote there, mistakes are not a problem. Mistakes are not a problem. Not learning from them is. That's where the problem comes in. Number seven. Oh man, why'd you go there, Pastor Glaze? Why'd you go there? Nurture the gift of generosity. Nurture the gift of generosity. Look what Proverbs 11 and verse 25 said. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Nurture the gift of generosity. You know, we don't serve a stingy God, and so we should not be a stingy people. All right, now, again, I'm not saying be stupid. I'm saying just be generous. You know, have a spirit of generosity. And you know, now, I will say this. Now, and I can't say that I do this all the time, but when you get blessed, don't automatically think that the whole blessing or that blessing was for you. But see, that's what, oh, I got blessed. I remember I was at a funeral, and I attended this funeral, and I was going in that, you know, I wasn't preaching the funeral or doing anything like that, and I was going in the door, and somebody walked up to me and put some money in my hand. And I just took it and I put it in my pocket, you know, went to the funeral, and I got back in my car and opened it. It was a $100 bill. And I said, oh, man. And the Lord said, right there, the Lord said, that's not for you. This is the Lord speaking. Is anybody else talking? He says, not for you. And I came to here to the church, came back, and the first person I saw, the Lord said, there you go. I said, the Lord told me to get this to you. And so sometimes, saints, you know, when we've been blessed, you know, the first thing we do is we want to, and God blesses us, you know, to meet our needs, right? But sometimes, you know, when we get an abundance of blessing, maybe we need to just look at, well, you know, I'm gonna be blessed, and I'm gonna use this portion for what God has blessed me with, and you know, I'm gonna break a little something off for enjoyment too. But you know, maybe there's a part of this that God meant me to bless somebody else with too. You know, and that's developing that spirit of generosity. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. Man, I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. I'm really getting ready to get in trouble. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Okay, all right, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Do you know the time that the waiters and the waitresses in the restaurant hate the most? Sunday afternoon. Let's look to the Lord and say amen. Sunday afternoon. Hey, Christians are some of the most stingiest people in the world. Now, again, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, if you get bad service, generally, to have a spirit of, and I'm not saying give all your money away either. I'm just saying that, you know, just to have a spirit of generosity. You know, just a spirit of generosity, okay? Let me move on. Number eight. Develop the art of affirmation. Develop the art. If you want to grow and develop, develop the art of affirmation. Look at this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That you can speak life into other people. That you can, by a word of encouragement, what does the proverb say? I should have put this verse up there, but you know, it says that a word spoken in due season, how good it is, how precious it is, like a apples of gold. You know, a word spoken, you know, become a person of affirmation. Yeah, you know, I was telling this. I can't remember if I told this here lately. Then forgive me. That's all I want to say. I remember when my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, was growing up, and she stayed with us, and you know, we were always telling her, "Good job, Tay Tay. Very good, Tay Tay," and just really trying to encourage her. And she did something one time, and I said, Tayshia, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to buy you some candy. But I didn't have a car seat in my car, so I took my wife's car. And at the time, she had a sunroof, and the sunroof was open. And the sun was like beaming down on my head. And I was like, oh man, I gotta close this sunroof. It was beaming down. And so, again, I'm taking her out because she's always, you know, she's very good, Tay-Tay, very good. And so she was sitting in the back, and I'm trying to figure out all these buttons, pressing everything, and this sunroof is not closing, right? So I realized that every morning she rides with my wife to work. And I said, Tasia, I said, do you know where the sunroof, the button to close it? She said, yeah, it's right there, Pop-Pop, that one right there. And I pressed it and it closed. And she said, very good, Pop-Pop, very good. But you know, you have to develop the art of affirmation. You know, be affirming to others, be encouraging to others. And when you affirm, be accurate. You know, don't let it be some flattery, you know, from a negative standpoint. But be accurate, be appreciative, and be appropriate. You know, say exactly what it is that you are affirming this person for. And be appreciative. Man, you know, when you did this, lady, when you did this, it was really a blessing to me. And then be appropriate. You know, don't try to overdo it or, you know, flower it up. But, you know, be appropriate. Number nine. Develop a character of faithfulness. That when you begin to develop, you personally, you want to develop a character of faithfulness. Look at this. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, everybody can say, oh, yeah, I'm faithful. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah. But every man proclaims his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, Proverbs 25, verse 13, as the cold of snow in the harvest, time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refreshes the soul of his master. And then a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Develop a character of faithfulness, trustworthiness. You know, let it be said of your character that you are a person that can be trusted. Now, you know, I have a negative testimony to give about myself, and it's this. As many of you know, I'm the chairman of the board for the Center for Urban Biblical Ministry. And so let me say that. Then the second thing I want to say, that I'm off on Mondays, right? And I generally don't do anything I put my sweats on Monday, and generally I stay in my sweats the whole day on Monday. I'll go out and do some yard work. I might go to the gym. Might do a little reading, meditating, but most of the time I'm in my sweats. And my mind on Monday is in kickback mode, right? So CUBM, they have graduation on Monday. And because I'm the president of the board, I'm the one that opens up the ceremony with the welcome and the prayer. Now, you know I'm off on Mondays, right? So I come in Tuesday, I got my schedule, I look at my schedule, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I look at my schedule. So Monday, graduation, this is about 2 or 3 years ago. I just came back from Lowe's, right? It was 5:45. I just dirty and everything else. And my alarm goes off and it says 6:00, CUBM graduation. No way in the world I'm gonna make it. No way in the world. So next time, man, they was dogging me out. Somebody had to take my place, somebody had to pray. Next year, right? I'm talking to the seed of Moses on the phone. It was a Tuesday morning. And she said, Pastor, we missed you last night. I said, last night? What was last night? She said, CUBM graduation. I said, oh man, the second year in a row. It's 2 years in a row. Oh man. So now, you know, the big joke is, do we have to call you? Do we have to put it on your schedule? Do we have to come and write it on your schedule? And I just said, man, you know, I mean, personally, I feel bad about it because that's not a good testimony. So yeah, every year I call my wife and I tell her, I said, make sure you remind me. make sure you remind me about the CUBM graduation. And you know, I look at that, and so what I'm trying to say is, here's an area where I have not, you know, proved to be faithful. And how people think of me because of this. And so I'm trying to help somebody out here today. And I'm trying to tell you that when you are not faithful, people know. People recognize that. And but they still keep asking me to do the welcome and pray. So I went this year, just a side note, right? This year, you know, my wife texts me about two or three times. I remember I'm on my way down there by the jail, because we had, it was on the north side, and the traffic was backed up. I got there 5 minutes before it started. And they had already started putting somebody in my place. Saints, all I'm saying is be faithful. Develop a character of faithfulness. And I just hope and pray that that's the only area where, you know, I have not shown myself to be faithful in the past. And then number 10, maintain a humble spirit. Maintain a humble spirit. Proverbs 25, verse 6, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, nor stand, and stand not in the place of great. You know, don't put yourself, oh, look, I need to be up there. I should be up there. You know, humble, humble. Proverbs 25, 7, for it is better for it to be said unto thee, come up here, then thou should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thou have seen, whom thine eyes have seen. So it's better what? Somebody say, hey, come on up here. Then for somebody say, look, get your behind from down. Get down. What you doing up here? Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thy own mouth, a stranger, and not thy own lips. And so I don't know if you can see that quote there, but it's by C.S. Lewis, and let me read it here. It says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And so those are the 10 commandments of personal development. For the Christian, from the book of Proverbs. So we pray that God would take this and use it in your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs, Lord, because truly it is a book of wisdom. And we ask now that as you just allow this, the message, Lord, to ruminate in our spirit, Father, that there might be some things in there that you have pointed out in our lives that you have called us to address. And so we ask, Lord, that you would help us to make application of those things so that we might be all that you would have us to be. Lord, and we realize that the foundation for all of it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I pray today, Father, if there's someone here that has never received Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you might speak to their heart and that they might come today and give their life to Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that's looking for a place to fellowship, looking for a church home, and this is the place where you have called them, Lord, that they would come as we give the invitation this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Keeping Your Head Above Water. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, the Ten Commandments of Personal Development, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the Ten Commandments of Personal Development. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the Ten Commandments of Personal Development, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.